Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot is daf Lamed Zayin, and we're holding at the two dots, one line down from one third of the way down. So Yeruke Mistayin. Okay, next thing that we add in the Mishnah is the Suffolk is Ben Tisha L'Rishon, or a Suffolk Ben Shiva L'Acharon. So we said over there, look, it's possible that he's been sleeping with his brother's wife this whole time. The child is definitely a kosher child, right? Because if he's the first guy's son, he's kosher. If he's the second guy's son, he's kosher. That's not a problem. However, there is a problem about the Yavam himself, because possibly both he and his Yavama have been living together in sin, because maybe she, in fact, was Ptura from Yibum, and therefore they have to bring a Korban Ashem Tolu. That's what the Mishnah says. Amalei Rava L'Rav Nachman. Why is there a chiyuv of an Asham Tolui? I mean, Lema Halecha Charov Nashim. Don't most women give birth in 9 months? I mean, so normally you say a Rov, you're allowed to be Semech on the Rov, in which case it seems quite clear that this is a child of the first one, and it's not an Asham Tolui. He was Vadai. A shaloba makam mitzvah, right? Because rov nashim le tisha yaldan. So why isn't the rov machayevim if we go basa rov? So Reb Nachman says to Rava, I don't know. I mean, in my family, the women give birth in Shiva. They give birth in 7 months. I'm like, Rav, what are you crazy? Nishayti tchua virubid alma. I understand what he says. So. So you have weird wives. And what does that have to do with anything? We're talking about the Rov. So because of your wives, now the Rov changes? No. What I'm telling you is, look, Rov Nashim are Yodam Latisha. That's true. I'm just pointing out to you, there are women who do give birth at Shiva, right? So it's a mute. The problem is that when a woman is pregnant with a 9-month gestation, then the child should be visibly showing by the end of 3 months. Now, the child was not showing at all. Because of that, it was obviously is why we have our suffering. I mean, she wasn't pregnant within 3 months. So now that makes you think, oh, wait, that is strange. So apparently she wasn't pregnant, right? And therefore, since we should say that kolo yoledet the tisha, Ubra nikar l'shlish yameha, and in this case it was not nikar l'shlish yameha, because otherwise we would have known that this is a ben tisha. So therefore we no longer could be semich on the rov. It sounds like no women have a 7-month gestation. I tell you, my family, they do. So, I mean, wait a minute. Did you just say that any woman who is yoledet l'tisha is showing at the end of shlish yameha? So then we know. We should say, since this woman wasn't showing, so obviously she wasn't pregnant. She must have been pregnant with a 7th month gestation. Because we should say that Ubras Vadai Bar Shiva Labatro. Obviously, I don't mean all women. I'm saying most women who are pregnant with a 9-month gestation after 3 months are showing their pregnancy.
When the Shiva wasn't showing?
Not at the end of the less of her time. She's a Ben Shiva, she's only 1 month pregnant. She's not going to show at the end of a month. How could she show at the end of a month? So therefore, what we have over here is a confusing situation, okay? Hai nidalohu kar lishlishyamea itra la ruba. So no matter how you look at it, something is weird. And therefore, in this case, it remains a suffix. And we cannot be relying on this rov in either direction. Turn it up. Now it says, points out in the bright, it's very interesting. If the guy does not divorce his Yavama, and he has a second child with her, then the first child is not only kosher, first child could be a Kohen Gadol. He's totally and absolutely kosher. No suffix in him whatsoever. So the Rishon is Ro'iliot Kohen Gadol, but the second one is a Mamzer Misafik. Because if Lamaisa, she is Eshet Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, it's an Isser Karis, and he's been continuing to sleep with her, and this child now is the result of an Isser Erva. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ein Mamzer Misafik. All right, well, what does that mean? There's no such thing as a Mamzer Misafik. He isn't a Mamzer Misafik. He's Vaday not a Mamzer. Vaday is a Mamzer. What is he saying? My comment. Omer Abaye, what he's saying is like this. The Tanakhama says Rishon is Roiliot Kohen Gadol, Shein is a Suffolk Mamzer. What does it mean if you're a Suffolk Mamzer? If you're a Suffolk Mamzer, it means you have to take into consideration the Suffolk. Therefore, you can't marry another Suffolk Mamzer. Because the Suffolk Mamzeret that you decide to marry may actually not be a Mamzeret. Or you might not be a Mamzer, and then she might, yes, be a Mamzeret. So there's no way for you to marry even a Suffolk. Because Suffolk is also a Suffolk. You can marry Gioret, whatever, but you can't marry another Suffolk Mamzer. Comes along, therefore, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov to say, ain't no Suffolk Mamzer. No, no, he's not called a Suffolk Mamzer. He's called a Vanei Mamzer. And he is Mutter b'Mamzeret. And we'll see what the basis of this would be in a minute. Whereas Rav is saying, actually saying the exact opposite, Archikamer. What he's trying to say is like this. That the Rishon can be a Kohen Gadol, says the Tanakhama, and the Sheni is a Mamzer Vadai Misafik. And he's Mutter b'Mamzeret, because he holds, as we're going to see, that a Suffolk Mamzer has the same din as a Mamzer Vadai, and the Suffolk is Mutter in a Mamzeret, because he's no longer Miuchas. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, No. He is not a Vadai Mamzer Misafik. He's an old-fashioned Suffolk Mamzer. And a Suffolk Mamzer is Usser B'Mamzeret. Now, what's going on? What's going on is this. There is a famous machloket about what Rabbi Elazar, do not confuse Rabbi Elazar with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, has nothing to do with him. There's a machloket about Rabbi Elazar's, the Tana's Shita in the Mishnah. The Tana. Rabbi Elazar Omer. So here we have a list of various Isurim in Yichus. So Rabbi Elazar says, look, all cases that are Vada'an are Mutter in all cases that are Vada'an. However, Sveikan and the Vada'an are Mutter, not only Vada'an Vada'an, Vada'an b'Sveikan, and Sveikan b'Vada'an, and Sveikan b'Sveikan, all cases where there is a Suffolk, whether one side is a Vada'an Mamzer and the other side is a Suffolk, or vice versa, or both sides are a Suffolk, then you cannot marry. When we say Sveikan, it isn't only the category. Now, we'll see in Kedushin that there are categories of Yichus that Ezra was Koveya. And this includes, one might say Sveikan, this includes the set of Sveikan. The set of Sveikan are types of situations where we have a chashash of Mamzerut. So, ishtuki. Ishtuki means that when the little boy says, Daddy, the mommy says, shh. Okay, so obviously something is wrong with Daddy. This isn't Daddy. The asufi means we picked the baby up in the market. Someone left the baby in a basket. That's very suspicious. Why is the baby in a basket? Obviously the baby could be in a basket because it's a poor family or whatever. But the baby could also be in a basket because I don't want anybody to know about the baby. Yeah. And a kuti. Kuti, that's because the kutim only believe in Kedushin Mitzad Bia. They do not believe in Kedusha Kesev, and they do not believe in Kedusha Shtar. So if somebody gives Kesev or Shtar, they're Mater, the woman without a get. Mater, the woman, she goes out and marries somebody else. All the children are Mamzer. So because of that, every Kuti is a Suffolk Mamzer. Comes along Rav Yehuda, and he said that Rav Taskin like Rav Elazar, and that Sveikas are Osir and Sveikas. Then, says Rabbi Yehuda, after Rav died, I became a Talmud of Shmuel. So I went and I told Shmuel what it is that Rav said. That we paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Shmuel was in shock. He says, you know, the whole world knows that Hillel HaZaken, this is the Mishnah, man. Asara Yuchasin Olu Mibova. Okay, this is the Mishnah that Hillel taught us. And they are, what are the 10 sets of Yichusin? The Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. They're Chalalim, which are Kohanim that married Yisraelim. So these are Yisurei Kuhuna. There are Gerim. There are Avodim Mishuchrarim. That's another set. There are Mamzerim, and Netinim, and Shtuki, Ve'asufi. Now, any member of a set is Mutter Lavoi Zebezet. There's no problem of marriage in one to the other. So the Kohanim, the Levim, the Yisraelim are all allowed to intermarry. That's not a problem. Chaloli, Geri, Chalorim, Mamzerim are allowed to marry. Mamzerim, Netinim, Shtuki, Ve'asufi are allowed to marry. And that means that they, no, in each set. And that means that the Svekas, we're saying that Netine, Shtuki, Asufi, these are all Svekas. You're saying they're allowed to marry each other. How are they allowed to marry each other? So, Kulon Mutarim Lavo Zebezeh, obviously because there is no Isser of Sufik Vesufik. And you're trying to tell me that the Halacha is like Rebbe Elazar and that Sufik Vesufik is us. Against Hillel HaZaken. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to follow Hillel HaZaken. What do you say about that? So Abaye, he holds that Shmuel is absolutely right. That Halacha is Hillel HaZaken. In which case, there is no Isser of Suffolk to Suffolk. And because of that, since Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavinaki, which means that we always paskin like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, therefore, if I have Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov saying what it is that Rav said, and that is that it's also Lavo Zebezeh, and that's what he meant, that ain't Mamzer Nisafik. So then we're going to have a halacha that contradicts halacha. The one at Kavanaki says that we go actually be Isser in this direction. We say a Safik is Osir, and ain't Mamzer, that is a Vadai, but not a Suffolk, he's a Suffolk and us. So that's not true, because Hillel said otherwise. We paskin like Hillel. The only way I can make him make sense, therefore, in order that there not be lo tiksha hilchata hilchata, is to say my approach. Whereas Rav holds like Rav, who paskins like Rebbe Elazar against the mission of Hillel, and therefore he has to say that Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov works out aliba de hilchata. And if Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov works out a Liba de Yochata, then what he must have meant was Ein Mamzer Misafik means there's no such thing as a Vadai Mamzer Misafik. There's only a Safik Mamzer Misafik. And he's Usher in the Safik, because we don't paskin like Hillel, who is Mater Safik Besafik. Because otherwise you will have Kech Lotiche Yochata Yochata. We don't want there to be a contradiction in the Psak, as Rav says, like Rebbe Eliezer. And here we're going to Rebbe Elazar, and here we're going to paskin that Kavanaki is against Rebbe Elazar. Therefore, I make it work out this way.
I understand how Abaye would work out. He's passing.
What do you mean you don't understand? What is there not to understand? Abaye is having, and therefore, what Rebbe Elazar was saying is that there's not such thing as a Mamzer Misafik. There's a heter of Mamzer Misafik. Mamzer Misafik is allowed to get married. Exactly like Hillel said, right? Fine. Now, I can prove this to you, says Abaye. I want to show you that Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov views the Suffolk as the equivalent of a Vada. The Chos Fekel, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Ki Vada Mashvay. I'll prove it to you. Because it says in a price like this, the Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is coming to explain what the idea of the Molar et Zima. Why does the Torah have this hakpada on all of the concepts of Kiddushin and Yichus and so on? What's the big deal if we allow people to sleep around and not go through Kiddushin? Because let's say a guy is Arishabal Nashim Harbe. Guy has slept with 1,000 women. He has no idea. He can't remember all the women he slept with, for heaven's sakes. A woman who's gone around sleeping casually with people. Maybe she's got 1,000 sexual partners, right? She has no idea who impregnated her. The result of this, in the end, is that fathers are marrying their daughters, brothers are marrying their sisters, and I have no idea. And we're going to end up, mamzerim. The whole world's going to be full of mamzerim. And that is the meaning of the pasuk. Umal'ah ha'aretz zima. So therefore it says, the pasuk, al techalel pitcha la'haznota. So don't allow your children to sleep around casually, because the result will be, tizna ha'aretz, umal'ah ha'aretz zima.
Does Ben Noach also apply to?
Well, not the whole thing, because the Ben Noach is mutter bebito, but the idea, I mean, obviously we're not, you know, zirmat susim zirmat, and we don't care that much, but the Torah that says, al titem bitcha laznot, al tchalel bitcha laznot, this is what it means. Rav Ar Malacha. So what do we see? We see that he's considering them to be mamzerim. As he says, malak kulo mamzerim. What do you mean, kulo mamzerim? There's a chance. You're saying you won't know. If you won't know, you're calling that Mola Aretzima with Mamzerim. So it means that he views these fakers as being Ledoids. Rava says, that's not what it means. That's exactly why he brings the Pasuk of Mola Aretzima. What is Mola Aretzima? Zima means Zomahi. What is this? Meaning, I have no idea. All we have is a chaotic world in which we're unable to trace genetic lines. And therefore, we end up with always zomahi. And that is something that is ipso facto ridiculous, not to know where anybody comes from. But zima is per se a lotion of suffix, not a suffix of vada. Yet, okay. Anyway, getting back to what Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov points out, is more than that. Okay, I understand Stam to go sleeping around casually. Obviously, there's going to be boys and girls all over the world. Well, not the slightest idea, they're all over the country, I mean, not the slightest idea that you are their father, or that she is maybe impregnated by the guy that he thought she never even saw. But Yetra came home, blessed Bianca. You would think that at least if you're a sailor, you could have a woman in every port, you know? I got a girl in every port, honey. Even that you can't do.
Wasn't there a reference
to that? Warren's going to ask.
Oh.
Very good. So the question over there is what? You're going to say, okay, look, I'm important in Canada. We'll have a kid in Canada. You know, I'm important in Sydney, Australia. I'll have a kid in Sydney, Australia. Who's going to ever meet from Sydney, Australia to Canada? There's no such thing. My daughter. There's no such thing. Therefore, it comes from Rabbi Zimak and says, no, even Isha B'dina Zo. If Isha B'dina Acheret, you never know. It may happen that someone from Australia will bump into someone from Canada. Shema Yizdav Guzela said, and again, Ach Noseat Achoto. They might even have the same name. Who knows? Yes, the Gemara. They do have the same name.
They do?
An Ari is a Leviah.
Oh, right, yeah.
And their mothers have the same name, too. Their mother's name is Tzipora. Yes, they might even be born on exactly the same day in the same year. Crazy story. Totally crazy. Right. Anyway, ask the Gemara Moshe's question, ain't he? I thought when Rav would travel to Darshaya, should it say, so he used to announce who wants to be queen for a day.
Rebetzin for a day.
Because of the Gemara in Yuma, where obviously it's a remes to Darshaya, he who lives in the Shaya. So and over there, that's the, so is Shochin Netziv, Shach Netziv, the one who is Shochin. In any event, so he would say, who wants to be Rebbetzin for one day? You know, I'm making a visit over here. I don't want to be without a Rebbetzin. My Rebbetzin, I can't afford a ticket for the Rebbetzin, so we just get a Rebbetzin for the night. Right? It would take a local Rebbetzin, or Reb Nachman, when he used to come to Shachmitz, he would also send out messages, who wants to be Rebbetzin for the night? And then we'll get married for one night, and then we'll get divorced tomorrow. You know, everything will be kosher, and kosher l'mahadrin, and so on, but this way I don't end up thinking about other women. No, that's no problem. So what happens if he impregnates her? That's no problem, because Shani Rabbana to Pekia Shema, everybody knows what if Rav's going to have a child, the whole world's going to be saying, oh, this is Rav's son, you know, this is Rav Nachman's son, Rav Nachman's daughter, whatever. So obviously they're not going to end up marrying their brothers and sisters, because they're going to know who their brothers and sisters are. Wait a minute, says the Gemara, how can you do that? I thought that you need 7 days between the time of the Kviyut that you're going to get married and the actual marriage, because Amar Rava, Tiva'ula lina seiv nit paisa, a woman who agrees to get married has to tzirkale shev shiva nekiyin. She has to first keep shiva nekiyin and then go to the mikvah, because we're afraid that because of her fantasizing now, oh my God, I'm not going to be married. So she may be rei adam machmas chivud, which would be betamir, and that would mean that he isn't allowed to sleep with her anyways. What good is having a rebbetzin for the night? None of the rabbonan, Rav, or Nachman, they would send the telegram before. It was a mail order bride. So they would I'm coming to town, get ready. And they would have it all set up a month before. So by the time they get there, she already, you know, she already was Yoshev, she was Akiyam, she already went to the mikveh, everything's great. So maybe that's what happened. Or, you know what, it could be that these Rabbanan never ended up sleeping with these women. They just married these women. And she says, so what's the value of having a woman? Because it could be that they were only miyachi them to marry. And because the Omar Eino Dome Mishiesh Lopat Pesalo, Lemishain Lopat Pesalo. So if he knows that in this town there's a woman waiting for me if I decide to take her, so then already he doesn't have such a yetzer hara to sleep around loosely with somebody. So Mamela, in order not to open himself up to the yetzer hara, so they would be miyachid women in every town that they went. Tana Ribli Ezra ben Yaakov Omer, for you'd think that this is Nogea Arsugya, but it's not. But I need for you to know, you can't take a woman for a night and not tell her that you're going to give her a get. I mean, they made up openly. Who wants to be mine for one day, or whatever, 1 month, whatever it was. So they understood initially that they were going to be divorced at the end. It was fine. That was the nature of the relationship. But you can't do that without telling her. Lo yisa adam ishto v'daito legarsha. A person should not keep a woman who thinks that you are her loyal husband when your intent is to divorce her. Don't sit there planning bad for your friend who believes in you and thinks that everything is secure, and you're a rotten, no good, planning your friend's downfall, you know. Well, you know that next week your partner's going to come into the business and the cop's going to be there to take the keys away from him and so on, and he's fired and so on and so forth. And meanwhile, he's working for you. It's disgusting. Now, what happens in terms of the tvi'ah for inheritance? We've been talking about what happens to the parents in terms of bringing an Ashim Toloi or an Ashim Vadai or a Chatas Vadai. We talked about what happens to the yichus of the child, the difference between the first child and the second child. What happens to the inheritance? So now we have the safek, the child that we don't know if he's from father A, the brother who died, or from the yava. And now the inheritance of the first brother comes through, right? Because remember, Vayah B'chor HaShev Teleid teaches us that he's Neitel the Chelek of the brother, the dead brother. Now, the child says, obviously through his lawyers, he can't talk yet, but the child says to his erstwhile father, who is not his father, according to the child, I am a 9-month baby to your dead brother. And therefore, all of this property is mine because I'm his only heir. You are an intruder who has no right to be sleeping with my mother. Out of here and out of the inheritance. I want it all. Yavam says, nonsense. You are my child. It's all mine. I get everything from my dead brother. You'll have to wait your turn. So, what happens? So here's our question. Suffolk, v'yavam shabo l'achalot b'nichzei mitzvah. The Suffolk claims, I am a 9-month baby from your dead brother, and I own everything. V'nichasim didiyu. The Yavam says, nonsense, you are my holy begotten son. And at b'reid didiyat, and you don't get anything. Let lach v'lo mide b'nichzei. So this is mamon hamutal b'safek. Mamon hamutal b'safek, we have to be cholek. So we split it, because even, as Tosas points out, even the Rabbanah, who argue on Sumchas, who is the author of the idea of mamon hamutal b'safek, cholken, and he says, amotzi mechaver lo v'raya, in this case agree that, of course, mamon hamutal b'safek cholken, because by definition, they are both equally muchzik in the moment. In other words, the moment is equally one or the other. Nobody's got a better chazaka than the other one. You don't say, I'm motzi mechaveru. I'm not being motzi. What do you mean motzi? Each one of you claims that you're the one being motzi. So there is no motzi. When we're coming now to be chaylik, of course. Moment I'm with the Pacific Chokin. Not only that, but those who would otherwise say, this is the other Rishonim point out, that those who would otherwise say, Shudda de Dayanim, when we have no basis, we have no basis whatsoever for discovering what the relationship is here, right? So therefore, according to one shita, we say Shudda de Dayanim, let the Dayanim determine who they want to give it to. In this case, you can't say Shudda de Dayanim because there's no tzvekas, there's no deis to take into consideration. All there is an equal chazak on the mama, and obviously you have to be cholik. Okay. Now, what about in a case where Suffolk uvnei yava? Now what happens? The child who might be the son of the first brother, the dead brother, is coming to sue the children of the yavam and telling them, I want to take all of the money that had come from the first brother, right? So the Yavam over here has died. Now they're coming to be chaylik, the nichsev the misna. The Suffolk says, now listen here, that guy, meaning himself, Mr. Suffolk, is the bar mitno, and therefore I take all of that. Let's say the Yavam dies, leaving the bank accounts worth millions from his brother. Plus, he's got a few cents here and there and broken dishes of his own, you know. And he's got 5 kids of his own. And he's got this other kid. So, all of a sudden, the other kids are welcoming him. Oh, dear brother, how are you? You say you're not our dear brother. You say you want all those millions. No, no, you're our dear brother. Always been our dear brother. What, you lousy no good things? You always claimed I was... So now, the Yavam obviously claimed, you are our dear brother, and therefore we are happy to share with you an equal portion in the millions that were left by our father's dead brother. But you are our brother because you are a Ben Shiva L'Achra. Certainly weren't a Ben Tisha L'Risha. So we're ready to give you a chiv. All you have rights to is a share among the other 10 brothers, you know. You can get 10%. No, I want it all. I don't want any part of your broken dishes. You can keep that. I'll just take my little chelek, the millions in the bank account of my father, who your father stole from me, half of which. So Rav Misharsha, the Rabbonin Kamed Rav Misharsha, wanted to taina that you can paskin the halacha of this case based on the Mishnah that we have later, the Tanakh. Hu eino yoresh otam, vehein yorshim oto. Now there it's not talking about any case of Yibum. Simply it's talking about a case in a family where over there we have a suffix. If somebody is a ben tisha l'rishon, the suffix is ben shiva l'achron. So over there, he cannot be yoreish them, because each one is basically doche, the children of the first. Again, there's no brothers here. Right? We're talking about two fathers, both of whom have families, and this child was born as a suffix of the first father, the second father. She divorced the mother, whatever the case is. She died earlier. So now each family will say to this child, well, you know, you're not our brother, you're part of the other family. He goes to the other family says, well, you're not our brother. We're definitely yorshim. You are claiming to be a yoresh. Can you prove that you're a yoresh? No. So therefore, each one will be dochem to the other family, and therefore, he can't be yoresh from either of them. So, hu eno yoresh otam, but, however, heim yorshim oto, meaning, look, they can come together to court, and say, his money is definitely one of ours, so it's momen amuto besafik. So we'll take half, and the other family will take half. So that's the halacha over there. And therefore, over here, we should say exactly the opposite, because in this case, he basically is the one who is mugzak more than they are. He originally split this with his father. He can say to them, bring a raya that I am your brother, and you could take a part of it, and give me only a part. But if you can't prove it, I'm already mutzak in this money, because I mean, it was split with me. So I should get the whole thing. Because hatam, over there, we say, aite raya ushko. Hocha amar lehu, he says to them, aite raya ushko. So I think it's exactly the same. We think, the Rabbanan said. We think, they said to Reb Mesharsha. Omalu Rev Misharsha, faulty logic, gentlemen. Because midami, it's not the same at all. Hatam inu vadai v'yu safek. In that case, over there, they are definitely heirs. Each one of the family, his father died, the Ben Shiva family, the Ben Tisha family, they're vadai heirs. He is coming as a safek, and he's only a safek in there, right? Masha Enkein, in this case, it is not true. Over here, the suffix himself is not being told that he's vadai anything. He doesn't know who he is. He's not coming with a taina of vadai. All he's saying is, he's just saying, look, you know, I'm not certain whether I'm coming from the Kayach HaRishon, I'm coming from the Kayach HaAchron. Okay. So if somebody knows what his taina is, we could say, we know where we're coming from. We are the children of husband B, in that case, in the Mishnah. The others say, we are the children of husband A. You are who? You don't know. So that's a Savada, is the Suffolk. Masha Inkein, the Suffolk doesn't know, in this case, whether he's coming as one of the brothers. He's just saying, look, I definitely have some chelik here that's true. But I can't prove what my chelik is. And therefore, why is this the opposite of that case? If you want to make it similar to a Mishnah, and then I tell you, you know what you should look to? Lahaida, and it should be doimeh to the following. To a case where Suffolk and the Bnei Yavam are coming to be chelik, not the nechasim of the mate. They're coming to be chelik in the nechasim of the Yavam. And over there, the Yavam is the guy who's got the millions, and the mate is the one that had the broken dishes, right? So now, in that case, which says that if Dehatam, because in that case, it's not the way you're saying. What they could say to him in that case is, Hamrile, Aiti Raya Dehachunatushko. Sure, you want to claim that you're a brother? Bring him Raya that you're a brother. Therefore, he cannot be Yorish then. In Mashenka, in the case before, both of them are coming from the same suffix. Now Rashi says that the part that they're made, I mean, they're made obviously, we're willing to grant you a piece. They can't say don't take anything. that he takes. The rest of it, says Rashi, is Momon Amotu B'Sofik and Choki. Now let's examine the next case. How about where we've got another issue? The Sofik, indeed, is coming to argue with the B'nai HaYavam to be Cholek the Nichse of the Yavam. And in this case, it is talking about after Labatel Apologam Nichse Mitzvah.
They're coming to be Cholek the Nichse of the Yavam after the court has already split. Years before, it already split the property between the Yavam and the child, which was the first case that we had. The child is suing through his lawyers and saying, I believe I am a son of the dead brother and I'm getting all the money. The Yavam says, on the contrary, you are my son and you get none of the money. Right? That's how we started. The din is Cholkin. Okay, we paskin the din of Cholkin. Now years passed, the money remains in a separate account. And now the Yavam dies. Now they're coming to take the accounts of the Yavam. So, what happens? This is Lubata Polag Yavam, but if say Mitna. So the B'nai Yavam, in this case, want to say, well, I mean, you're not our brother. Bring a riot that you're our brother, and then you can take. Ushko. He says... We know that we're the Yavam's son, and you agree that we're the Yavam's son. Now you say, but the Yavam's very rich. I want to share in that. Well, I mean, why should you get a share? How do we know you're a brother? So therefore, you shouldn't have anything. The Sofik says to them, now hold on a minute. If I am not a brother, then all that money that was originally split should be mine. So I want you to give back that money. So here's what I'm ready to do for you, gentlemen. Now, I'm ready to give you my half of the one that was given to me when I was an infant, and my court-appointed lawyers claimed that I was a child of the first brother. I don't think I'm the child of the first brother. Actually, I think I'm your brother, you know, and I get a share in the millions, you know. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you back the original account of all the broken dishes, you know. I'm happy to give that back to you. So how are you timing that you get it both ways? So therefore, if you're timing, I'm the bar mitna. So where's the money that was taken from me originally? So there we have a question like this. Fascinating machlokes. Rebbe Abba quotes Rav as saying, look, kambina. There's no such thing as after the court has determined the dispensation of a particular case that you can reopen the case because of a tie of another case. So there's no such thing as saying, well, so now we should look at the whole thing afresh. There's no such thing as looking at it afresh. You're dealing with reality as it is. The court has already given half of the money of now the father that you're claiming might be your father, has given it to these people. Because now the Yavam has died, basically, right? So Kamdina, you cannot come with a taina like that. You cannot be ma'arer on a case that is being settled. As far as his chelik and the millions of the Yavam, they have every right to say, bring us a riot that you're a brother. It's a typical case. We're vadai. And you're not a vadai. So prove that the money is yours. Here we're muksik. In the previous case, both were muksik equally. Rabbi Yirmiyah says no. If you start now with a broader case, you can always go back and at least open up the tefiah, because now the people are admitting that they are wrongfully in possession of my money. Because they're claiming I'm not their brother. So at least give me back the money that you're taking now from your father who stole it from me, according to yourselves. You say he stole it from me, your father. It was always my money, and he has it all these years. Therefore, Hadar Dina.
So, how they're saying that?
Because they're saying you're not our brother. Yeah, we don't want to give you any money.
That's why they... Fine, so originally.
No.
Before.
No. We split originally because you were our brother.
Shafek.
Originally, let's say let's pretend the other brothers weren't even born yet.
Yeah.
Okay, this is 20 years ago. Fine. 20 years ago, the Yavam is a young man, and he is claiming the inheritance of his dead brother. This infant's lawyers, court-appointed, are claiming that he has no rights to any of this money. It's the infant's money, who is the nine-month baby from the dead brother. The court says, look, we have no way of determining this. We're going to split it equally. You take half, Yavam take half, and the infant take half. Now it's 20 years later. There's a bunch of other brothers that have appeared. And now the Yavam, who in the interim has gotten rich, the Yavam leaves a lot of money. And there was also $10,000 from the original. He's got millions. So now the brother says, okay, I'm one of the brothers. I want a chelek in the millions. The brothers say, what do you mean? You're a brother? Since when are you a brother? You're a child of the first brother. Oh, yeah? If I'm a child of the first brother, where's the $10,000 that the court gave to your father and that you know good that you're claiming now as part of the inheritance? At least give that back.
And all the millions.
I'm coming from a mamon of shav. Yeah? So either I'll give you my 10,000, because now I'm claiming I'm your brother, and I'll take my 10 million. Or at the very least, if you're claiming I don't get my 10 million, give me back my 10,000. Okay?
And this is not
Hadar.
This is not
This is Hadar Dina. Now I want to rethink the original Din. So I'm coming back by suing. Now, and that's Machlokas here. Is this Machloket, the same brilliant Machloket, classic Machloket, between Admon and the Rabban? And what's the famous Machlokas of Admon Rabbanan? It's a beautiful, beautiful case. A guy owns a field that is completely surrounded by other fields. He goes over and he has an access road to his field. He goes overseas. He stays overseas for 35 years. Comes back to discover that his access road has disappeared, is completely overgrown, and is somewhere in the fields that surround his fields. He sues. Where's my road? Okay, so there we have the Machlokas Admon and the Rabban. And what is that Machlokas? Leima b'plukted Admon Rabban k'mef, it's not. Misha alak l'bdinat hayam, v'avdalo derech sadeh. So Admon says, look, he at least has the right to the least amount of road area that will allow him access to his property. I mean, that's sort of obvious, right? I mean, he definitely owns some of this. You can't just say, well, you know where it is. We don't give you anything. So give me the lease. I'll take the lease. Maybe it's very inconvenient. I got to get in instead of off the main highway. I got to drive around to get, but fine. I'll take whatever I can get. The Chachamim say, no. Either he buys a helicopter and flies in, or he pays whatever they want him to pay. So yikach lo derech b'beah money. He can either spend $10 million on a road, or yifrach b'avir, or he can pay $10 million for a helicopter. That's his choice. So v'avinam basa, we asked over there, what? And they're all the Rabbanon were asking. Admon is 100% right. How could he not have rights to a road? And we explained over there that Amar of Yiram Arav, what we're talking about is that there were four separate owners that surrounded him, north, east, south, west. What? There's four separate owners? Obviously, he can't sue anybody.
Each one says,
what do you mean? Your road was somewhere else. Go prove your road was by me. That's exactly the case we've been talking about, where the members of the family, one says, well, you're our brother, go to them. You're their brother. They say, what? You're our brother, go to them. You're their brother. It's exactly the same case. How could anybody say that you can sue them? So the my time of the Admon. So Rava explained what it's talking about. It's obviously, if there were four owners, the Atum Mikoach Arba'a, that had come originally from four separate people, they bought their rights individually. Or even if there were four people who now own the field, and they had all bought it off of the same guy, makes no difference. Of course, he cannot sue anybody. Of course they'll say, what do you mean? It's not our business. I bought mine, I only bought mine. You'll say, well, can't he sue the first guy who sold the four fields? No, because the guy will say, what do you mean? I never sold you a road. I only sold the rights to things that I owned. Oh, so where's my road? Oh, I don't know. Don't you know? So obviously he can't go sue that guy either, as Tosfos explains, right? So this guy's really up the creek without a paddle in that case. But the case over here was one guy bought all four fields. So now the one guy, so one guy is now suable, right? So Admont says, look, I don't care where it is, but basically somewhere in the fields you bought is my road. Now I want, you could choose whatever road you want to give me. I understand I can't prove where it is, but you got to give me a road. So Admont Sefer Matsyam, I'm like, look, Mikomakom Darki Gabachu. I mean, why don't you have to give me a road? Whereas the Rabbanan say, no. Because the guy says to him, listen, buddy, let's make a little deal you can't refuse, okay? I'm going to make you a deal. If you shut up, you know, I'll be nice to you. And I'm going to sell you a road. What do you think about that? I'm being a nice guy. I'm going to allow you a road. So you shatakta, the ilo. But if you don't and you drive me crazy, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to the court. I'm going to say, listen, I bought these fields not knowing that there's some nut that's going to be swimming. Oh, this is ridiculous. Nobody knows what the dinner is over here. I can't buy these fields from these guys. I'm going to return the fields. I'm just going to give it back. Now what's going to happen to you? Now you're up the creek without a paddle because nobody's going to listen to you. So I'm willing to make a deal, but on my terms, not on your terms. And therefore, so now apparently what's happening over here is that this, you know what, maybe we should finish it up tomorrow. This is such a beautiful case. All right, because it goes on for a little while. All right, so we know the machlokas now. Let's see whether it relates directly to the case we've had here. Everybody.